All right. Okay, we're back on. Headache. Zetterin headache coming on here. Well, hey, here we are.
Happy Monday.
Yeah, this is great.
First day of winter.
Yes. Oh, is it?
Yeah. Winter solstice.
Feels it. Mm-hmm. God. Thank you. Thank you, Cliff.
Giddy up, cowboy.
Fresh off 108 sun salutations. It's Steve Clausen, ladies and gentlemen.
With a little Mr. Kimball thrown in. Remember Mr. Kimball?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Albie Moore.
Yeah. Okay.
See?
Have you heard Steve's answering machine? It sounds like a game show host.
Yeah, hey, everybody, you've reached Steve Clausen.
Grant Woods, come on down.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. It's great. All right. Well, anyway, it's Monday night, and we're down here at Marley's, and so we got we're going to talk about the state budget, the health care bill passed, and we're going to look back on 2009, look ahead to 2010. John Kaser's in the house, and he's going to sing one of our songs, and we don't know what else will happen. We'll see. And that's about it. Mark, you got a question for us?
Are you going to the Suns game after this?
No, I'm not. I'm going to see Arizona State and Santa Barbara because I have a son at Santa Barbara. And so we're going to go check it out.
Oh, good.
I'm going to root for Arizona State.
Good call.
You've got to do it.
Have you got one of those bumper stickers? You know, my heart's with ASU, but my son and money go to UCSD.
Yeah. It's expensive over there.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
There, but he's doing good, and it's exciting to have him back. They have a nice break. Tough life being a college student.
Yeah. Oh,
month break.
You don't even know it at the time.
Oh, no,
yeah,
I know.
You look back and
oh,
yeah.
I know. I remember, we kind of ran the newspaper at Occidental, our little group from Arizona.
That's right.
Chris Hamill and Fred DeVal. And Bob Robb was the editor of the newspaper. And so Bob, so it was a weekly. So we'd put out our paper, and the next day, we had to have a meeting. We'd review the paper, what went right, what went wrong, and all that. And we had a revolt. I mean, flat-out revolt, because Bob had the audacity to schedule the meeting at noon. We're like, what? I mean, I still remember the outrage. We were like, what is wrong with him? Noon? Why are we going to get up that early? I mean, that just ruins the day. It's like hanging over your head all night. I've got to get up by noon.
Oh, my God. You were one of those.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
The stay up.
We were very upset about it.
Oh, my. I do not get that. Can I just, for the record, even in college, I was up in the morning.
Oh,
I'd be that person that couldn't sleep. I'd be like, do you want to go get breakfast?
Who are you doing that to?
Ah,
yeah.
Who are you poking
roommates?
Like that?
Just roommates.
Oh, yeah. Same bed?
Phillips.
No.
You were just...
Me? That's hilarious.
Yeah. No, I've always been a night person. I'm always up till like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning.
God, what's wrong with you?
No, I really enjoy it. I accomplish more at night than I do in the morning.
I really enjoy getting up at 4:30 in the morning.
You do?
No. Love it.
You do not.
Do.
Clausen's motto, stay up to watch Leno and up in time for the view.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's your bookends.
Well, no, it's like
those are the bookends.
When I was doing, the radio broadcasting here in town, producing the show, the great thing is at midnight or so, most of the East Coast newspapers, like the Times and Post and stuff, change their headlines, so you know what the stories are going to be, so you're prepared for it.
On it.
Yeah, you're on it. Absolutely.
I heard some stories about you late night at KTAR, squirreled away over in the corner with
a lot
Barbara
of weird,
Villa.
Weird stuff that happened late at night.
Isn't that true? You and Barbara Villa over in the corner?
You know, Barbara called me the other day to do an interview with you.
I know, I missed her.
Say, Steve, just wondering what you're up to these days. You know, my mother used to tell me, Steve, oh no, she used to say Barbara. Wait, shoot, gosh, I've lost my train of thought. Anyway.
Barbara is a very sweet person.
Very nice. Very nice.
I've always gotten along very well with her. So
that's hilarious. Now, that was a great. I don't even know her.
Yeah.
You don't need to.
She's very nice. Very nice person. Do you have a question for us, Mark?
I have a question.
Okay.
What is it?
In this giving season.
I had one I was thinking of, but did you have one? I was thinking. No, go ahead.
In this giving season, give yourself the power to change a law.
Oh,
anything you want to add to, or we'll even let you delete a law that's on the books, and I'll lead off.
Since, I'll start, and I'm going to say, everyone should have. No, go ahead. Go first.
then I'll tell you. A couple go ahead, and then I'll tell you. Friend, it's all about cable.
We had a few technical difficulties, so we had to start over. So anyway, what would you?
I would like to see everybody pay taxes. Yeah, I'd like to see everybody pay as small amount as possible, but I'd like to have everybody have a little skin in the game, so that when you hear about tax issues for all those millions of people that don't care because they don't pay taxes, let's let them get in the game too.
Yeah, yeah, they would care.
Let's let them care a little bit more by having a little bit of incentive.
Well, you know, let's just, I want to digress a little on that and ask you, we'll come back to everybody's answers, but one issue that is being discussed here, at least behind closed doors in the state, and I have my views on it, or at least, I don't know, I'm listening to people, it's interesting, is should we institute sales tax on food? Right now, we don't have a sales tax on food. Now, if you put the sales tax on food, you would still probably have some sort of out. And then we do have the technology today. In other words, if you were below a certain income, you would go down and you would get, it could be a key fob thing, where and they run that through, and then you don't pay the sales tax when you check out at the grocery store. That would probably happen. But for the most part, let's just say most people would start paying sales tax on food. And that has been a real no-no. Not everywhere, but in this state and in the majority of states, I think, for a long time. My personal reaction is that that's okay. When you've got catastrophic budget cuts coming and the things that you're looking at happening, they're all bad, then I don't know that it's such a big deal. We do tax at restaurants, we tax fast food, and we tax, you know, any place you go other than the grocery store. So what's the big deal about putting it on there? What do you think about that?
At a grocery store, do they tax if you buy a 12-pack? Does that get taxed?
Yes.
I think alcohol and cigarettes get taxed.
Cigarettes, yeah, it does. Yeah.
And if you buy something that is a taxable product at the grocery store.
But just basic food is not something.
But, I mean, what about a bag of chips?
Oh, yeah, that is not taxed. That's food. Yeah.
See?
That's one idea was, let's say we're going to tax on the inside of the store, not on the outside or whatever that is, you know. That sort of deal. So fruits, vegetables,
center aisles, in
things
other words,
like
crap.
That. The crap we would tax.
Twinkies,
and
yes. Celery, no.
That's another. You could do that.
Yeah, I mean,
well.
Like you said, got the technology. If you can have the little Bash's saver card, then they can figure out if you're below a certain guideline. Yeah, you pay. You know, ordinarily I would say no, stay out of my wallet. But you're right. The catastrophic situation we're in right now. Mm-hmm. I think it.
Okay.
Because it's a consumption tax.
But one caveat.
Except you got to eat. That's what they're saying.
Yeah, that's something
but
that would affect everybody.
Ho hos.
Correct. Yes. That's
Sorry,
right. That's
that
right. I agree with that.
Joke, by the way.
I agree with that.
Would it be
I agree
like,
with that?
Would it be like Governor? Would it be like Governor Brewer's once said tax proposal, a temporary tax that 2-3 years down the road, or
now what was that? I'm sorry. We hear something from the background here.
Yes, we do. No, the
peanut gallery. Peanuts would be taxed.
Yeah, the 1 cent sales tax she proposed was a temporary tax for 2-3 years, whatever.
Yes,
it was.
2 years.
Would this be a temporary proposal or permanent? It's on.
No, whatever you want. People are just talking now. You could do it temporarily, sure. In other words, you could say, as long as we're passing this, why not throw it? This is not going to happen, I don't think. It's just too high. But it's interesting to me. I would definitely have it on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
well,
pretty much not
has to be on the table.
Yeah, but this pretty much is not. And it surprised me that people, even conservatives, are like, oh, God, we can't do that. We'd like to, maybe, but we can't. I wonder. I wonder if in the spirit of everybody throwing in, why don't we do that? Kind of like you were saying, Mark, on the income tax. You know, why don't we have everybody in the game a little bit here?
And I would be for it as long as we said, but see, here's the problem. But as long as we said, hey, we're in this hole, once we get to a certain point where we can see daylight, that sunsets and goes away.
And the governor's plan, that is what would happen. It would be sunsetted into law. Not the food part, but the temporary sales tax. So you would have to go back again and do it again, which is unlikely, I think, if the revenues are up. Be honest with you, I don't think that's going to be the situation for quite, even in 2 years. I don't think the revenues are going to be up in this state in 2 years. I think you're going to have to say, it's a different question. The question is going to be, do we just want to have more government spending in certain areas? And if we do, then we're willing to tax ourselves to pay for it. Maybe, you know, it's a similar question. It's not exactly the same. But
right. Well, one of the problems you face here in Arizona...
We've got a structural deficit in Arizona is what I'm saying.
Right. One of the problems you face here in Arizona is, for the most part, over the last, you know, 10, 20 years, it has been a rapidly growing population. I think it's slowed now, obviously, mm-hmm. because of the economy, but it's going to pick up again. So you have more population coming in, but you have more services to deliver to that population. Mm-hmm. So it's almost impossible to cut back on some of the services because you've got more people needing them.
Well, let me give you some stats here because, okay. you know, we had the governor this morning had an emergency cabinet meeting, and she invited the cabinet and a few others. And
you were one of them?
Yeah, I did go to that, yes. And I've been urging this, so I will say if this completely bombs, I'll have to take the blame here. I'm on the record. I have the little handout here, and not to be boring, but it's important. Okay, so they just reduced over the weekend. They reduced the budget by about $193 million. Okay, the legislature did. You just saw that last weekend. So remember that $193 million. That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. In normal times, that would be a big deal. Okay, I'll show you guys the graphs here. This is what they just did, which is a little tiny blip. And then next to it, way up high, is the remaining deficit for the next 6 months. And next to that is the remaining deficit for 2011. So you see, we're talking about, it was good what they did, but it wasn't. It's really just a drop in the bucket. In other words, if they did a $190 million cut, the current deficit for this year, which means, remember, we've only got 6 months left, is $1.5 billion. Okay? So we have to we have to come up with $1.5 billion in cuts and revenue, and the most they could cobble together right now is $190 million. Okay, that's a problem. And so if you look at that $1.5 billion, that's 35% of the remaining general fund appropriations for the fiscal year. Okay, so that's not good. Now I'm just going to give you a few more things here just because people just bullshit about this stuff, and the reality is you've got to look at real numbers here, you know. So when you look at 2011, which we'll be honest before we know it, it starts July 1st, you're looking at a budget deficit in 2011, unless you raise revenue or dramatically cut, you're looking at $3.4 billion. That number is 51% of the anticipated general fund revenues in 2011. 51%. So that's fairly dramatic, to say the least. Now, just a couple other things for you. The state is... cash flow is their big problem right now. So they did an internal line of credit for $500 million and blew through that. And then last month they got $700 million from Bank of America, and that was gone immediately. Okay? Every day now, the state is making a calculation on a daily basis of where are we at cash flow-wise today? Which is very odd for a state to do that, but that's where we're at. It's literally day to day. So to Steve's point, let me just get, how did we get here? I'll just give you some numbers here. Peak employment in Arizona was in August of 2007. We had 2.68 million jobs. And today we have 2.4 million jobs. That's a loss since August 2007 of 280,000 jobs. Okay? And the projection is that we won't go back to those numbers until 2014. Okay, I'm giving just some highlights here.
I think they're low lights.
At the same time that that you had these reduced revenues, some other things happened. The legislature passed a series of tax cuts, personal income tax cuts, corporate tax cuts. So let me just give you the other revenue hit besides those cuts. Since FY, fiscal year 2007, sales tax is down, revenues, collections, 22%. Personal income tax into Arizona is down 38%. Corporate income tax is down 57%. Okay. It's not good. Now, this is a real killer. So this is to your point. While all of that's going on, those catastrophic numbers, you look at, and this is important, you look at, okay, how did spending go up? Well, first they added a bunch of things. But we've also seen the populations that are served increase dramatically, okay? So they... I won't give you all of them, but I want to give you a couple of them because they're pretty amazing. Here's the deal. A lot of the conservatives around the state, including the people running against the governor in the Republican primary, say, well, just cut spending back to 2004 levels because that's when we had these revenues, right?
This is not 2004.
Okay. The problem is things have changed since 2004, and here's the things that have changed. If you cut it back to that, you still now have 144,700 K through 12 students that we've added. So you've got 144,000 more students than we had before, and more than $1 billion in annual cost. Okay? University enrollment since FY 2004 is increased by 18,000 students. Corrections has added 11,600 prisoners. Access has added 475,000 new members. That's $1.5 billion from the general fund. And get this, in the past 12 months, Access has grown by 207,800 members. Okay? So, yeah. That should give people a pretty good idea. There's one more chart that was pretty amazing that I wanted to show you. Then we have protected areas and unprotected. I kind of went over that before on a previous show here, that there's some areas we just can't touch.
Mm-hmm.
Access, a good portion of Access is part of that. K through 12 now, a lot of that can't be touched. So we're kind of stuck there. So you look at what's protected and what's unprotected, and it's a huge mess. So I think what you're looking at, children's services, services for the developmentally mentally ill, corrections, departments like Department of Revenue, Department of Juvenile Corrections, they're going to get absolutely clobbered here. Okay, now one more thing I want to show you, if I can find the thing, because it's a pretty amazing deal. Oh, well, since fiscal year 2008, you wonder, well, things started to fall off. So how did they not have these problems then? What did Napolitano and company do? What they did was every possible gimmick they could do. They did sweeps, they did rollovers, they did reversions, they did everything they could possibly come up with, and that totaled $6.5 billion in the last 2.5 years that they did in basic gimmicks. Well, here's the problem. All those are done. You can't do them again. So now we're stuck. There's literally no more gimmicks possible there. In a nutshell, fiscal year 2010, we've got $1.5 billion left in our deficit. And the unprotected fund, if you got rid of everything, that's only $1.2 billion. Fiscal year 2011, there's $3.4 billion in deficit. Unprotected funds is, coincidentally, $3.4 billion.
Mm-hmm.
What that would mean, you would have to shut down state government in all those unprotected areas, including corrections, Department of Revenue, all those sort of things. One last thing. The state right now, I don't know if anyone realizes this, but the governor brought it out today. The state is currently borrowing $1 billion every day to cover its cash needs. So that's not good. $1
billion
a day.
Billion
with a B to cover its cash needs. It borrows internally. It borrows wherever they can, mm-hmm. wherever they can come up with it. It's not in times past. You could borrow internally because you knew the revenues would be there, and so because revenues don't necessarily come in every week exactly, the same, it's okay to borrow against it. But now you don't know where they're going to be, so. Anyway, the governor's message today was, it's a very serious problem. We need people on both sides of the aisle to deal with this. You're going to see massive cuts because there's no alternative. And if you don't raise revenue, if you don't do this sales tax or something else, then the whole state's going to fall apart here. And that's, you know, that's not just rhetoric. This is the way it is right now.
Corrections are really expensive. Corrections. Can
yes.
we ship a lot of our prisoners to Illinois?
No. Let me tell you, one of the things I should have mentioned that she's going to do, and I think the number is, she did announce this morning. We have about 6,000 illegal aliens in our prisons in Arizona, and that is the federal government's responsibility, but they will never do anything about it. So we're going to take the nonviolent ones, just to start out with, which is about half, about 3,000 illegal aliens who are in prisons, and we're going to, I don't know how we're going to do it. She ordered the Department of Corrections to figure it out. But we're going to take them out of the prison, and we're going to dump them down at ICE headquarters. And the feds can take care of it. And if they won't accept them, then we'll probably drive them to the border and dump them off.
But just drive them to D.C., drop them off there.
I'm telling you, this is not a rhetorical thing. That is going to happen. We're going to dump those prisoners. We're not going to pay for them anymore. Because at the same time you're taking, let's take developmentally mentally ill. I mean, if we're going to say in this state, and I'm not saying this is the case, although I would imagine it will be, if we're going to say that adult mentally ill are not going to get services anymore, then you can see the ramifications of that. So why are we housing illegal aliens in our prisons? We're not going to. That's kind of bottom line. And there's a bunch of other steps she's doing like that.
Grant, you mentioned that in the past few years, the state has done a number of tax cuts along
yes.
the way. Have they done any charts to show that if we had not done the tax cuts, where we would be in a revenue?
Yeah, I think it's hard to tell. I don't know the answer to that. That's a good question.
Because you could then, you know, if it were like
just a billion. Just put them back in.
Put them back in, and you could make the claim that at the time they were not a responsible tax cut.
I think... You know, here's the impression I'm getting. I get the impression that that those really haven't affected it too much. Okay, maybe they have. I don't know. That's a very good question. I'll get an answer to that. I'm getting the impression, though, that probably neither side is right on that. In other words, the liberals would say, which in this case is the Democrats or the legislature, just take away those tax cuts and you'll have those revenues.
Mm-hmm.
And the conservatives would say, no, tax cuts actually produce income for the state. And in this case, it's hard. I don't know that either one is true because of this ridiculously bad economy that we have.
Right.
That's the problem, is things really don't make sense. I mean, these numbers that I'm telling you, I mean...
Well, they're dramatic.
It's funny. I mean, it doesn't get any more dramatic than that. I mean, and it's funny. I watched The Room, and The Room people are like nodding. Oh, yes, okay. So really? Okay. Because, you know, it's pretty much numbers that you – in a different time they jumped off buildings for. I mean,
right.
In one area
where this is really going to get home with the people of Arizona, because you asked what's going to, you know, be a wake-up call for, I think you're probably going to see it in about 3 months, 2 to 3 months. I'm assuming that when people start filing their income tax returns – and they are mm-hmm. owed a refund, whether it's a couple hundred, a couple thousand, whatever. The state may have to do what California's done and issue IOUs.
I think if this doesn't get turned around immediately, I think you might be looking at warrants and IOUs and this sort of stuff, which is a just ridiculous thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have our little thing there. Let me just show you this one chart here because it's pretty amazing. I want you guys to look at this. This is Arizona's employment chart. Okay, and you don't have to be a real rocket scientist. The in the red there, that is 2001 to 2007. Okay, and we just see where we've gone here, kind of slightly down, then a little more down, and now just off the charts. This is going back to 1948. So our worst previous time here was 1974, where we dipped down to a negative 4% or so, and now you see we're down here at 10% approximately. But if you just look at that chart, if people don't think we got a problem here, I mean, it's pretty catastrophic, as I said. So again, this is 2007. The 2007 on is these numbers, so to December 2009. So anyway, Now, the interesting thing is, what if nothing happens? Because the governor has been fighting this behind closed doors, and it has been unsuccessful thus far. And the reason is, the Democrats again refuse to play, and Republicans are saying yes, but with the Democrats completely out, you need every Republican vote. Just like the Democrats in the Senate needed every Democratic vote, you need every Republican vote, and there's two or three Republicans who will not vote for any tax increase no matter what, just period. And so consequently, you can't do much of anything, because you cannot handle this on the just by cuts. By the way, it's interesting that, Parker and Munger and others out there who are running on the Republican side are claiming they could do it all by cuts.
No, you can't.
Which is just ludicrous.
I'd love to see a plan.
Yeah, but they don't have a plan. That's exactly right. Where's the plan? That's, they need to produce a plan. And the Democrats and Terry Goddard, they need to produce a plan. You know, because what they'll say is, well, we're for the sales tax increase, but we don't want any of these cuts. But you can't do it. The numbers are what they are.
Why would, if you're Goddard and he wants to run and be mm-hmm. governor, why would you want to be the governor of a sinking ship?
Yeah, well, that's a good question.
I mean, I don't get
it. It's not fun.
Why would you?
Because he hasn't succeeded at being the governor of a sinking ship a couple of times.
I
really
think
wants
ways,
to do it now.
We may have a very unusual situation in 2010 where the Republicans hope the Democrat wins the governor's race and the Democrats hope the Republican wins the governor's race, because it's going to be a mess for a while, and they're looking, 4 years from now, by 2014, when things start turning around, that may be the time to run.
I'm afraid that it's going to be like jury duty. I'm going to get a notice in the mail.
You have to do it.
You're the governor. I'm like, crap.
Hey, the this ninth is floor the problem. Is ninth, Mark.
This is the
better.
Problem. The most people, when they just look at it, whether you're a conservative or liberal or a moderate, it's more fun to be the governor when times are prosperous and you're doing the things that you really want to do. If you're more liberal, you're increasing spending, you're bringing in all these great programs that you want to do. If you're conservative, then maybe you can do some tax cuts and you can incentivize business to go the direction that you hope it should go for your state. Maybe you can get the things that government should be involved in, the public schools, and get them competitive. You can do infrastructure. You can do things like that. In this mess, you can't do anything. We're talking about the basics aren't getting done. You can't take care of the poor. We're looking at, I think you're looking at massive numbers being tossed out of daycare here. I don't think I know. You're going to see, I don't know what the number is. Well, all this is up for grabs, but you might see 15, 16, 17,000 kids thrown off of daycare here in the next few months. And those are kids whose parents are the working poor. They qualify. Now, what happens then? What do the parents do? I don't know what they do, but they'll have to figure something out, because this isn't going to be available. You take all these. Now, access, we talked about. You really can't go all the way down on access, because then you'll lose the federal funding, and that's a huge mess. So they've kind of, this is the protected versus unprotected. They've tied your hands on what you can get rid of, and that the only things you can get rid of really are some of the basics. So we'll see what the reaction.
There is no easy answer.
Good times.
Yeah, it was like Merry Christmas, and we'll see in a couple weeks here. But I think it was the right thing for the governor to do, to lay it out in no uncertain terms. Now, here's something interesting. I think the Arizona Republic, we'll see, but I think the Arizona Republic tomorrow will cover it in a big way and do it responsibly, because the public needs to know this. The governor's done all she could do. Now the public needs to read the paper, and hopefully television will cover it, although, how many stations are there, five?
A lead story is going to be something about holiday shopping.
Yeah. Three of them were there. Two of them didn't show up. Okay. Two of them didn't come. Yeah.
And holiday shopping. There's going to be somebody at the Biltmore talking about what's the hot gift.
They're
going to
put a bunch of crap on there.
I know.
And then so what do you do? I don't know what
you do. Big snowstorm back east. That'll be the lead story.
Yeah. Rain is coming.
Delays, it's
supposed to rain tomorrow or something.
Exactly.
Oh, God. Well, there you go.
Rain always leads.
That's the lead story. Then the other two.
Well, it's like, and this will dovetail into what we're going to talk about later, but the coverage of the media. I posted on Facebook something last night and I said Fox News and MSNBC should be ashamed for what they did last night. I was watching CNN, the healthcare debate, right? They're carrying Christa, they're carrying John McCain, Harry Reid, Mitch McConnell. They've got Sanjay Gupta, they've got Tom Foreman, Dana Bash with the Capitol. Great team coverage, you know, in the hours leading up to it. Fox and MSNBC were running pre-recorded programming.
Mm.
How, if you want to consider yourself as a major news network,
right,
how can you be running pre-recorded programming on something this historic?
Right.
This is not a routine vote.
No.
But unfortunately, that's the attitude now in a lot of news. So I credit CNN. I thought they did a great job. MSNBC, Fox, you blew it last night. They did, I will say this, they did break in at the time of the vote to say, hey, the Senate's just voting right
what,
now.
What, did they break into lockup?
Yeah, I think NBC was a lockup. And
who watches that, by the way?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm involved in the criminal justice system. And I wouldn't consider watching that. But who watches? The scumbags of the earth, and you get to hang out with them for an hour.
I'm going to start watching it, though, because when we start releasing them, I want to see if I recognize any of these guys. Maybe in my neighborhood.
We are going to have to release prisoners, as we said. Now, when I say release prisoners in Arizona, first, the illegal alien thing, that's going to be complicated, obviously, but we'll do it. We're going to have to release a lot of other prisoners, too. So, again, you go to nonviolent and all that. And we go, oh, well, nonviolent, that's fine. Yeah, that's the burglar who has been caught now, you know, 10 times. So finally we said, you know, we're going to send this guy to prison because we've given him probation. And he goes out and steals more crap out of your house, breaks into your garage, breaks into your house, breaks into your car. That's the, you know, the drug dealer. That's the, you know, on and on. Just because we say nonviolent, there's a reason they're in prison, okay? And there's a few who we could all agree that maybe shouldn't be there, or it's no big risk. Most of them, there's a reason they're there. And you're right, they're going to go right back into the community. So they're going to go on parole. Oh, parole, who's going to supervise them? That's cut. Let me just ask you this. How about juvenile corrections? You Flagstaff people, you go right by Adobe Mountain, right, on the way to Flagstaff?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think with this budget you can keep Adobe Mountain open?
Do not stop to pick up hitchhikers.
I don't think, I'd be surprised if it stays open. I don't know if you can have a Department of Juvenile Corrections with this budget. And if you don't do that, that means they go back in the community.
I heard they're going to close all the state parks, so let's let them out of prison, but they got a camp in the state parks. And we just stay away because that's where the bad guys are. Just turn it into one big camping trip for these guys.
My husband's a chair of that commission. We could talk to him about it.
Yeah, that'll
be like
know
a little
about
place
that.
Of refuge.
Yeah, I don't think that
and
would
I
work.
I still think at the border we just play one big giant game of Red Rover, Paco come over. And if they can break through the chain, they get to stay in the country.
An interesting thing about the border, a few years ago I was at KTR, Ted Simons and I did a show down on the border, and the mayor of Nogales, Sonora was kind enough to come across the border and spoke with us. And he presented a side of it I had never understood before. He said, the problem of illegal immigration is hurting us in Nogales, Sonora. And it's like, why?
Sure.
What do you mean? He said, well, number one, the people come, you know, who are migrating from southern Mexico are coming through our city and, you know, causing problems and things like that. Then the United States drops them off at the border. He said, here in Nogales, he said, the two Nogaleses, we're very friendly. You know, yes, there's a border running through, but it's kind of like one giant community. He said, the problem we have is the illegal immigrants who are being brought back over, they're unskilled labor. They pick lettuce, apples, whatever. He said, if they were like office workers, professional, had skills, we could put them to work because we have jobs in this community. So he said, in some ways, we're dealing with the same problem that you are dealing with in the United States, being a border city. And I never really thought of that way. That was an interesting perspective.
Interesting. Wow. Well, so anyway, we want to do the how are we doing on time here? We're doing okay. Okay, healthcare bill. It looks like who's Steve? Are you fired up about it?
Yeah, I mean, is it a perfect bill? Absolutely not.
Well, there's no perfect bills.
Right. Would I like to see more in it? Yes.
More.
I go for the public option. But here's the way I look at it: it's a step in the right direction. President, since Harry Truman, have been trying to get this through, and it appears it's not a done deal yet, but it appears that it is through.
Yeah,
and I applaud it. I look at the Congressional Budget Office: 30 million more Americans will have health insurance. It's going to cut the deficit. There are some things
that I don't believe for a second.
You don't believe it.
But I know they say that, but it's not going to happen.
Name one thing that's ever come in on their budgetary schedule.
This is what the congressional block
dropped. The problem is when they start having to do their cuts and are supposed to pay for this, they're not going to do it.
But overall, would I vote for it? Yeah, I think it's a first step. I think it's a very important first step, and I applaud them for getting it done.
Okay. But you need to hold out a little harder, and maybe you can get the state $300 million.
Yeah, how about that? But just flat-out extortion at the end.
What a bunch of horses.
Yeah.
Well, it hasn't even become law yet. You're saying it's a disaster. You've got to give it a chance.
You haven't even read it. Why won't they post it?
Well, and that was one of the things here. First off, let's read the bill on the floor. That's fine. How come I haven't heard that proposed for all the bills before, just for this one?
So it works.
And the other great thing I loved, and I got to make this point against Mitch McConnell, the minority leader from Kentucky.
You're not a fan of his?
No. I think the Senate leadership on both sides kind of need an overhaul, to be honest with you. But that's another story. But he was going, the Democrats really must be ashamed of this bill to pass it in the middle of the night, right? Well, first off, 2 points on that, Senator. Number one, the entire country does not live in the Eastern time zone. Some of us live out in the West or in Hawaii, where that was not done in the middle of the night. It was done in the night. Secondly, you finally admitted a point.
A fine point.
Yes,
point. That was a very fine point. meaning minute,
very
not
small.
Good.
But here's the point. He finally admitted the Republicans were embarrassed by something. Because the Republicans were embarrassed by something. It's the Terri Schiavo bill. Mm-hmm. Why do I bring that up? That was passed at 12:41 a.m. on a Sunday night, Monday morning, and signed by George W. Bush at 1:11 a.m.
Yeah, well,
it was not in Hawaii. So, but what I'm saying is, he's saying that these bills that come up late at night, you should be ashamed of. Well,
both sides do it.
Look, exactly.
It's a joke when the mock outrage that people have. I can't believe the Democrats are treating the Republicans this way. Just go back. No. Republicans treated the Democrats the exact same way. Go back before that. The Democrats treated it. Nothing changes. No one. The statesmanship. When is the last time we had statesmanship? I don't know.
It's a long time ago.
They say it's
John Adams.
This will be the most transparent. We're going to post every bill for 72
good
hours
point.
On the internet.
Yeah. They didn't do it.
Well, I mean, and that was such a big deal. It's you've never seen transparency like this.
Here's the deal with this.
That all went away.
Were you just surprised to find health care coming up this weekend? It was like, wow, they're doing health care in Washington. Hasn't this been debated publicly and openly for the last 12 or 11 months? Mm-hmm. It's been out there.
Not sweetheart deals where Nebraska gets. That Nebraska thing is disgusting.
That is gross. And the Louisiana one.
Yeah, in perpetuity.
The Louisiana deal, that's crazy.
They were right about one thing, and I agreed with Mitch when he said this. He said the Democrats own this now. That's true. But the Republicans also own it in the sense that if the people go,
this is good.
The death panels aren't here anymore. My premiums are going down. What was the problem with this bill?
Well,
and the Republicans will own that side of it, too.
They should own it. No, they should.
No, it hasn't.
There are no premiums that have gone down.
No. What he's saying is both sides own it now. If it works out great, then the Republicans and people like myself who are opposed to it have to say, you know what? We were wrong on that. And if it doesn't work out, then the Democrats own it, and they should
Democrats
be blamed
be out of power.
For it. Well, so, yeah, so that's the way it should be.
There will be consequences from this vote.
There will be.
Okay. But overall, I was pleased. I was proud that...
will you be happier when it goes to a single payer?
Yeah. This is kind of what I call the wood chopping thing in football, where, you take an axe, you're chopping a tree, and the first couple times you chop it, it doesn't fall, nothing happens. You keep chopping until you get what you want. This was a chop.
Oh, yeah. And would you agree that Obama wants a single
payer? Is that a football thing?
Yeah. The wood chopping analogy.
All right. I missed that. I thought it was Paul Bunyan.
Is it possible that it gets reversed?
No.
If the Republicans take over both?
No. Is it possible? Yeah. No. Because you'd have to have two-thirds in each house.
But it doesn't go into effect for 3 or 4 years.
Right.
So
if you had two-thirds in each house. True. Well, then you could do it. I'm going to get rid of it.
By the way, is that not the biggest scam? How can you collect money for 4 years before it gets instituted?
Right.
I mean, can you imagine if you started making a car payment and they go, start paying now and in 4 years,
we'll give you
a new car. I don't get that.
The whole thing, it's not good.
Got to give it a try,
Carrie,
folks.
We haven't heard much from you.
No, you lost me on him. When you said health care,
it's important.
Bad enough?
I know it's important.
It is important.
I am so god-awful tired of hearing about it, and it was done so poorly.
Well, maybe you'll be more fired up for our Woody of the Year.
Ooh.
Because it's time
Woody
for
Woody of the Year?
Yes.
Wow.
This is it.
I don't think it's even close. I mean, I have mine. Oh,
okay.
Mine.
Well, it doesn't matter because I already chose.
Does it?
So.
Does it have to do with that op-ed piece?
We'll see. We will see. Okay. You ready? So, what? You got Woody there? What is Woody doing?
Shrinking.
He's sipping from a Marley's cup. The finest food in town, by the way.
You know, Marley's food really is great, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Fantastic. No one's having any right now.
Well, I've got some over there.
Love the Mama Marley's burgers.
Oh, it's just
embarrassed walking
right
over.
Okay. All right. The 2009 Woody of the Year goes to Tiger Woods.
Oh, thank God.
If you want to... thank you, Ed. If you want to... trying to give him that Johnny Carson... Okay. If you want to sum up this miserable year in America, look no further than the sorry saga of Tiger Woods. We live in a country that continually falls for the too-good-to-be-true scheme or person and then just can't believe it when it's not true. Tiger was the Terminator, the steely competitor, the greatest golfer of all time. By the way, not yet. And off the course, we didn't know that much about him, except he seemed to have the perfect wife and family. But why wouldn't he engage on important issues? Why was he distant from African Americans, from social concerns, from anything other than himself and the things that would make him richer? Now we know. He didn't want any scrutiny, and he wasn't ever that interested in anything other than himself and his own pleasure. Not that interested in having a wife and kids, in particular, if that meant denying himself the carnal pleasures of the road. Now, lots of guys struggle on the road with whether to have the pancakes instead of the oatmeal at Perkins. Tiger wanted to eat them both, along with the waitress and her friends. The guy's a pig. And a weenie. No, not that weenie. Nobody cares about the girlfriend debate, whether he's teeing off with a Big Bertha or a Mizuno. He's a weenie because of the demeaning way he treats women. Obsequious with the girlfriends, disingenuous with the wife. No wonder he drives a Buick. Now he's supposedly coming to Arizona for the holidays to check into a clinic in Wickenburg to cure his sex addiction. More bullshit. Who's not addicted to sex, anyway? Most people have the habit, just not the supply. So he will emerge from the meadows, cured of his problem, and ask for our forgiveness so that he can move on. He was sick, you see. He had an addiction. Now he's cured, so you can start sending in your money again. It's like the Twinkie defense, only this time it's ho-hos. Yes, America will probably buy it, too. But not here. We're not buying it. Tiger is a narcissist. And narcissists are ultimately really boring to everyone except themselves. Like the bums on Wall Street who crashed the economy, like Bernie Madoff, like all the rest of the folks who scammed us this past year, Tiger didn't care who he hurt as long as it worked for him. How's that working now, Tiger? The Woody of the Year goes to Tiger Woods.
Woo!
Ta-da!
There you go.
You would say Tiger.
Yeah. No, you had passed around on Facebook the other day this piece. I think it was New York Times.
Wasn't that good?
Yeah, it was an excellent piece. Yeah.
Yeah, really good. Really good. So. Yeah, so if you haven't read that. Oh, I mentioned that on Facebook. Yes.
Eye of the Tiger.
Okay.
I was
going to get it. I spoke to Valley Partnership on Friday morning. It's the third year I've done their Christmas thing. And... we look back at 2009 and ahead to 2010, much as we've done today, somewhat. And the guy who introduced me, who is their executive director, introduced me by, he had collected over the year the tweets that he liked, and most of which I'd forgotten about.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, ooh, God.
Come back to haunt you, Tiger.
Well, they could. You know, they were actually all right, but right. It was very weird to think that someone is collecting them. And but, you know, it brought back some memories. One was in downtown Santa Monica right now, just saw a woman who looks exactly like Willie Nelson. It's a long float down Whiskey River to do that. So I remembered her now, and oof, she did. She looked exactly like Willie Nelson. This is very strange. Took up a soundtrack to your life here.
Yeah, how about that?
Maybe we should. Do you think it's time to go to Kaiser?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's just dying to get in here, don't you?
This is adult hyperactive HDD. Or ADD.
Before we do, I want to mention coming up.
Yes.
Spouse Whisperer.
The Spouse Whisperer, Saturday and Sunday, 26th and 7th at the Tempe Improv. It's going to be guaranteed hilarity. And when you laugh at my jokes, it reduces your carbon footprint.
Wow, that's fantastic.
No one else's jokes. So you can actually get a carbon offset.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Okay, so...
TempeImprov.com.
Two shows?
Two shows Saturday, two shows Sunday. And
we're all going to go.
Yeah.
And
no,
we're all going to go. We decided 8 o'clock Saturday.
You know, a lot of our listeners would love to meet you guys.
Uh-huh.
And that would be a way to do it.
Yeah, okay. Saturday night at 8. You want to show up. You just got to come up and...
get there at 7:30.
There will be a rope around our table, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Can you do that?
And Mark, how do we get a
VIP section?
How do we get a free appetizer to the show?
Free appetizer?
If you go on, if you're my Facebook friend,
yes,
which I can't even believe I'm doing.
So good.
I am. So
gay.
I'm checking into the clinic. For this.
Yeah.
Wait,
how did
I send out a tweet here that you Mark is doing Facebook stuff?
I was so hip. I was tweeting in high school. I was so ahead of the curve. If you print it out on my Facebook, and I'll friend you if you just. I'm hard. I'm a whore.
Really easy.
He friended me. He'll do anybody.
I am a total whore. You ask me. It's like when I was single. I used to tell women, "Hey, I'm not much to look at, but you're gonna get some." I am easy.
Giver.
You're easy. You're a giver.
To say I'm a giver.
I'm a giver. which
yes.
sounds better than I'm a carrier.
Yeah. Clearly.
If you get my Facebook post, print it out, take it in, they give you and they've created an appetizer specially for my show. It's called the Aphrodisiac Platter.
Wow.
Ooh.
Cheese and fruit and a bunch of fun stuff.
Really?
Wow. Big banana
fantastic.
In the middle?
Well,
just wondering.
Where was Carrie's mind?
Wow, really?
I just had a visual.
Okay, now, Mr. Kaiser, is his mic all set, going and everything? I have to find your lyrics, by the way. But while I'm going to look for the lyrics, you have kept up with our friend Grayson Stevens.
Grayson.
And he is in Nashville. He was here. He was getting ready to go to Nashville and try to make it as a country star.
I think he just got out of prison.
No, he doesn't have to. No.
That was Mason.
No.
No, he's doing great. He just got out of court
and
had to deal
with
ASCAP records.
No, he did. Okay, great.
Yeah.
No, ASCAP and BMI, they're the...
So that he was in the ASCAP studios recording stuff.
Good. So he chose ASCAP. You have to choose. Oh, good. That'd be great. Okay. Cool. Okay. Cool. All right. I'm gonna go find your. Hey, what do you want to sing? One of your own songs? You want to sing the one our deal, or what do you want to do? I don't give a shit. Okay. Let's. I'll find it. Hold on.
Someone told me long ago, Tiger's wife just left the road.
I know.
I didn't sleep with Tiger. I don't know.
Okay.
Do
you want to do your round?
Tiger sitting on the
lullaby. Okay, you want to do End of the Bottle? Okay, where do you want me to put this for you? I'm not even going to play.
I got it right.
Oh, you got it?
You kidding? This is a classic.
Yeah. Okay, we'll tell you the story.
We can do some Christmas carols, too.
No, we're not.
Let's just do this one. We can hear those anywhere.
All right. The deal is?
So what, I was drunk for a month and a half?
He was drunk and hold it. We're losing our audience already here. Jesus Christ.
Tiger jokes. He practices, and then if it's funny, he'll share it with you guys.
And then if Carrie laughs, I'm doing Saturday night, I'm going to laugh. Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks a lot. I get an angry tweet.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready, sir.
All right. Yeah, well, John came up with the title here, and I think you were almost kind of screwing around a little bit, and I thought it was a great title. I said, no, wait a minute. Let's go back to that because I like that title. And then I said, let me work on that. And the next time he came over, unfortunately for him, it was done because I just did it. And one of the things John has had to do is just become more country. Because he never was before.
You're a little bit rock and roll.
Yeah, a little more blues oriented and, you know, whatever. But and the bad news for him is what I wrote it. I wrote it. I wanted to write just a flat out country song. Okay, not a country pop, which is what most of them are now. And so just for fun, I wanted to have that, the end of the bottle, because of the title, really. It had needed to be just a flat out country song. So that's what we got, right? Okay, do it, man. You do it. You don't need me.
The moon's my companion since you left me alone. I drink with her nightly before I go home. She says to forget you and to find someone new. But I throw back another, say this one's for you. And you and the moon know I won't see the light until the end of the bottle's inside. And you know and I know this won't turn out right. At the end of the bottle, at the end of the night. Tonight's moon's a no-show and your memory's stark. So I pour me a double and I drink in the dark. And you know that I love you and I don't want someone new. And the whiskey still whispers that we aren't really through. And you and the moon know I won't see the light till the end of the bottle's inside. And you know.
Good job.
A lot of research.
Good job.
Not bad, boy.
That's it.
That's it. We're done.
That's a show.
Something else.
No.
Can you sing one more?
I'll tell you what. Everything I do, I got Tiger lyrics running through.
Oh,
so
God,
just
no.
Be pointless.
No, we're wrapping it up.
How about Merry Christmas?
Blame it all on my roots. Hey, we had a gig. You were at the gig Friday night. That was pretty happening, wasn't it? Over at the Arcadia Tavern.
I think it was. Holy fairly stuff. Recall that. Yeah.
That's fun. Next month, we'll have to do. We'll have to have listeners. We'll have to have a listener appreciation party.
That would be great.
So.
Great.
Okay. We done? It's
a show.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
You are the man. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas.
You did it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Hey, Greg, you downloaded a lot of music off by just 99 Cents Pop.